Good morning, everyone. Good morning. It's great to see you here on Resurrection Sunday as we rejoice in all that God has done in our lives, but nothing more exciting than celebrating and rejoicing the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So we're here today because he is risen. In fact, the church began after Jesus Christ had risen from the grave to meet and gather on Sunday morning, the Lord's Day. And that is why you gather on Sunday mornings even to this day. Remember, the Jewish Sabbath was Saturday, and then Sunday became a part of a celebration of a gathering. And we're here still gathering to this day because he's not dead. He wasn't just some guy who came along and taught some good stuff. He changed the world. And we're here to celebrate that. And as a church, it's kind of neat because for the past year, we've been studying the Gospel of Mark. We renovated this auditorium and it added seating. 1 year ago, we opened it on Easter. And now, here we are a year later, okay, gathered together in three services this morning as well as online and two other rooms here on the property to sit under the Word of God. And we've been in the Gospel of Mark that entire time. And here we are in chapter 16. And we find ourselves right after the death and burial of Jesus Christ and resurrection morning. And Mark has been a fast-moving, action-packed book because Mark liked to do things how, church? Immediately. And immediately we are going to be looking at this text after our prayer, but we find ourselves in a little bit of a pause. That white space in between, if you will, where Jesus has been killed on a Roman cross and buried in a grave. A stone rolled in front and his disciples scattered, all having left him, one of his most dear disciples, denying him three times. Think about the change that has occurred in just this short amount of time for Jesus' followers. I mean, they went from fishing, from being people that no one would have known. I mean, think about Mary Magdalene. She came from Magdala, a place known for its promiscuity. She came to Jesus having had demons impacting her life. For scripture even says she had multiple things going on with her. And think about the change of being with Jesus. Think about what it would be like from being some fisherman by yourself to having thousands of people gathering, some even asking you to heal them because you were with Jesus. They had belonging. They had acceptance. They were, for maybe the first time in their life, not a nobody, but a somebody. Why? Because of them? No. Because of who they were with. And now, it's gone. Have you ever had a somebody of significance to you be removed from your life? There's a space there where feelings can grip us and discourage us and defeat us, even a child of God. There's a space between our feelings and what scripture says in our truth. And only Jesus can bring that space together. And that's what we're here to talk about today, what he did in chapter 16. He showed his disciples, oh, he was not some nobody. He was a somebody. Have you ever felt like a nobody? Have you ever felt that? You say, well, it kind of depends on where I'm at. You might feel like a somebody in your family. You come out to church here and you might feel like a nobody. You might feel like a somebody on your sports team. And then you walk into work, young person, and you're doing whatever it takes to get a paycheck and you feel like a nobody there. See, in different environments, we can feel different ways. And I remember after high school, I had made a decision. I wasn't really necessarily proud of the things I was and the things I was doing and the things I was saying and the way I was treating people, and I needed a fresh start. You ever feel like you need a fresh start? Ever feel like you just need to renew your life and just get going in a different direction? I knew, even as a child of God, I kind of needed a resurrection day. I'll tell people this from time to time who are just living in their past. You know what you need? You need to bury that, and you need a resurrection day. Pick your day. Monday it is, right? Or whatever it is. And I said, I'm going to go to college, and I want to make sure nobody knows my name. I mean, nobody. How many? Nobody. I'm tempted to tell you, turn to your neighbor and say, he wanted nobody. No, I want nobody to know my name. The only problem is when nobody knows your name, you feel like a nobody. So I did the only thing a young guy growing up back in the 1900s would do. I thought, I got to get me some clothes that make me feel like a somebody. See, because I had a hero, okay? I mean, I loved watching him play. I loved to play the sport he played. I mean, I just, and Deion Sanders. And he had this saying. He said, if you look good, you feel good. And if you feel good, you play good. And if you play good, they pay good. And so I remember hearing that going, I gotta apply this to my life. I need something that makes me feel good. And so I went to a store that was all the rage. I mean, I was a senior, graduated high school. And I mean, this store was, oh man, if you had clothes from this store, the only problem is this store was expensive, but I had to do it. I couldn't walk into campus a nobody. I needed like a shirt that made me feel like a somebody. And so I walked into Gap. Any Generation Xers? I walked into Gap. I mean, American Eagle, Gap, Aeropostale. I mean, oh my word, denim was all on the rise. Gap put out these butterfly jeans, and that just added stress to my life. That wasn't a good idea. But I mean, we were just all sort of, you had to have Gap. You had to have Gap. Young people are like, Gap, isn't there a baby Gap? No, Gap was it. You got to trust me. You gotta trust me. And I got this shirt. It was green with a white stripe. It was like a sweater shirt. And I paid cash money for it. I mean, I never had done this, but I'm like, I gotta be a somebody. And I paid $50 for a shirt. A shirt. Some of you are like, what are you talking about? Yeah, but that was back in the 1900s. I was paying $50 for a shirt. But boy, did I feel good. I had never spent $50 for a shirt, but I wore that shirt, and I loved that shirt. I wore it through college. I kept wearing that shirt because that shirt took me from feeling like a nobody to feeling like a somebody. The only problem is I still struggle with feeling like a nobody. I feel like I needed somebody to like my shirt, and somebody did. Somebody did. And 5 years later, somebody, that picture is five, that shirt lasted 5 years. So anybody who was judging me for my stewardship, now you're going, 5 years, that's pretty good wear. If I had that shirt today, it'd be like 30 years of wear. You gotta hang on to shirts that bring you along the love of your life. You might feel like a nobody, but there's a gap between our feelings and the truth. And only Jesus can close that gap. I want to call today's sermon, Nobody. Nobody. Because I feel like his disciples were probably going through those emotions. Our somebody's gone, and now I'm a nobody. And you might feel kicked, beat up, knocked down, abandoned, and discouraged today. And you're sitting in a room, and you feel like a nobody. And in a room this size, I don't know some of the stuff you brought in. You might be going through things this morning in a battle I can't even imagine. But the Lord wanted you here today. Because this world might call you a nobody. This world might treat you like a nobody. But whose view truly matters? I got somebody whose view matters more than anybody. And he gave his life on a cross for everybody. Would you pray with me this morning as we look into the Gospel of Mark, the resurrection of Jesus, and we'll pray and do it immediately. Heavenly Father, use your word today to encourage the house of the Lord. And everybody tuning in online, as well as in the other rooms, Lord, may we gather under your word. And if you would, Lord, Remove the room of distraction so that we might concentrate on what you have for us today. Lord, humble our hearts. Calm our hearts. We live in a busy, chaotic world where we seldom take time to pause and reflect on you. And so I pray that you would just pour out your hand of blessing on everyone who chose to make it a priority to be in the house, or to be online watching with us today. Lord, we know you're going to do great things. And I pray we leave differently because we sat under the word of God this morning. And we pray all these things. And all Renew Bible said, amen. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on in the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. Have you ever got up as the sun was rising? You kind of beat the world up. You got up and you're moving and you've got a purpose and you've got a reason to do it. And they did too. And it seems, if you're familiar at all with the grief cycle, there's stages to it. There's that shock and denial. There's sometimes anger. There's sometimes bargaining. Oh, if I could only, if I could only, if I could only. And then there's just sometimes you get to that acceptance place. They have bought perfume to anoint him. They had drug him off in the middle of the night. They kept Jesus up all night. They began to beat him, slam a crown of thorns on his head, throw him on a Roman cross, drive the nails in. They watched him bleed and die. Nobody anointed him. And here it is now, the third day. Sabbath of Saturday was over. And now they bought spices and they rose and they're walking towards Jesus. Their somebody is gone. And now they're just going to the tomb to anoint the body. And they were talking to one another. Who will roll away the stone for us, from the entrance of the tomb? And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. And all of a sudden, there's an eruption. Because that stone was huge, very large. They could have never have done it. But what stood out to me was, where's everybody else? Where are all the disciples? Where's James? Where's John? These ladies are moving towards it. We have Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James. And then we have Salome, the wife of Zebedee, whose sons are John and James. But where's everybody else? I put in my notes, nobody was with them. Nobody. And the person who made them feel special, the person who brought such belonging to them, the person that they loved and adored so much, is in a grave. And nobody but these three are going. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed." Angelic beings are always like humans. What's your problem? You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place they laid him? And they look. And they're going through the tomb, and nobody is in it. Nobody. What? I mean, nobody. But I noticed something. Did you hear what the angelic being said? See the place where they laid him? And I got looking, and I got, hey, wait a minute. We need to do something. There's a gap that we're missing. We're missing this gap. Let's put a gap. Let's put a gap there. There's not just no body. There's no body in the grave. This is the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. That means one thing. He came back to life. And that doesn't happen. It never happens. Those ladies were walking to the tomb as if it didn't happen and wasn't going to happen. And all of a sudden now, not only is nobody in the grave, but there's no body in the grave. And the angel speaks up. He must see their terror. He says, go, tell his disciples
and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you'll see him, just as he told you. And they went out and they fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone. Why? Because they're afraid. I wrote down in my notes, they told who? Nobody. Last week, as we looked at the crucifixion, we said sometimes it's good to just sit back and look at something in stunned silence, and that's exactly where they are on Resurrection Sunday. There's nobody in the grave. That means he's walking around somewhere. And that's exactly what Mark begins to describe. And he gives you three eyewitness testimonies of Jesus Christ, because make no mistake, the testimony of the resurrection, one preacher said, is not the empty tomb. The testimony of the resurrection is the witness of those who saw him after he left the tomb. Now, when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he cast out seven demons. And so went and told those, she went and told those who had been with him. And as they were mourning and weeping, but when they heard that he was alive and had seen her, they would not believe it. I mean, should they not be running to the grave to see it? They would not believe it. Mark is just focused on the fact that of those who heard the message, who believed? Nobody. You're catching along. Nobody. Mark's not done. After these things, he appeared in another form to two of them as they were walking into the country. And they went back and they told the rest, but they did not believe them. Who believed those two? Nobody. Afterwards, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. Among the disciples, who believed? Nobody. Nobody. And Jesus said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes, anybody who believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. Whoever believes, anybody who believes can have eternal life. And anyone who does not believe will be declared guilty and must pay the punishment for sin. And the cost is far more than a $50 shirt. I'm looking at my notes and I see this word, nobody. Nobody. And we don't want anybody to come to Renew Bible on Easter Sunday and get stuck in the gap between feelings and truth. Even the children of God out there. There were three responses to the death, burial, and resurrection in the Gospel of Mark. The first, they would not believe. Have you ever run into someone who heard the truth of Jesus, witnessed the change Jesus made in other people's lives, recognized his life-altering work and how he has transformed society, acknowledged the truth that he spoke, yet they would not believe? But then there was a second category I saw in the gap. There were those who heard the message, but did not believe. I mean, that's just too hard for me to get. I just can't get there. Yet even to this day, our calendar is built on Jesus. You write a check that says 2024 because of a date that started with Jesus. Our entire society is packed, impacted by this Jesus. And if he was just a nobody, we wouldn't be gathered here today, a couple thousand years later. If he's just a nobody, he comes along, claims he's God, and leaves. There's been many people who have done that. But this Jesus shook up the world. Why? Because he didn't just die. He rose again. And we're gathered here in 2024 as witnesses of that, on top of the fact of what he's done in our lives. And just like you can't see the wind, you see the effects of the wind. You don't see the wind, but you see the tree branches blowing. There are many, maybe even in this room, who have seen the change that Jesus has made in other people's lives, yet they did not believe. And then there was a third. The scripture says they had not believed. And maybe that's somebody in the room today, where previously they did not. Previously they would not, but there's something going on in their heart today. And it might be because you had a divine appointment. And the Lord wanted you to hear that you're not a nobody to him. You see, you don't understand. I know Jesus is a somebody, but I feel like a nobody, and that can even happen to children of God. Because life struggles come in, life's difficulties come in, people reject us, people are cruel to us. We have consequences for our own attitudes and our own behaviors and our own decisions. And they can just beat us up and wear us out and tear us down. And I don't care what shirt you're wearing, you can still feel like a nobody. And there's a gap between how you feel and the truth, especially if you're a child of God. Because if Jesus Christ is your Savior, he's in you. And that makes you a somebody. Because your worth is dependent on him, not what other people say and think about you. How many of us have been beat down and have played the victim role too long? And we've allowed the enemy to discourage us. We've allowed the enemy to define us. We've allowed the enemy to bring us identity, all these things outside of Jesus Christ. And it's left you feeling like still a nobody. There's somebody who considered you so valuable, he gave his own life. $50 for a shirt, Chris? I got a $50 bill in my pocket. Let me hold it up to see if it's real. If I took this $50 and I crumpled it up, just smashed it and pressed it down, put it under tremendous pressure, and let's say I threw it on the ground. Let's even say I stomp on it and kick it, and I walk out of here. Do you think any young people in the room are going to run up on the stage and grab that? I see some young people right now, they're looking at it and go, he leaves that for 5 more minutes, I'm up there. Why? Why? Because even if it's beat up, even if it's knocked down, stepped on and kicked, it doesn't change its worth. Child of God, do not allow the enemy to dictate your worth on how your life has gone. For Jesus was beat up, abandoned, kicked and stomped, and I can tell you something, he wasn't a nobody. He was a somebody. And if you're here today struggling with that, remind yourself, for those who call upon the name of the Lord, Jesus Christ is in them, Scripture says. And it's no longer they who live, but Christ in them. What a powerful, powerful thought, that it's no longer I who live. So even if I'm a nobody, it's Christ in me. He's the somebody. For I've been born again. I've been set free. So now the hope of heaven is before me, and the grave's behind. That's like a hallelujah. He's brought us back to life. Scripture's so clear. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is no one in and of themselves who is worthy. And trying to define yourself as a somebody in the world's view is a meaningless task. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. You see, you gotta pay a price for sin. And the Old Testament reminded us, without the shedding of innocent blood, there is no forgiveness. Someone has to die, and it can't be just a regular guy. It's gotta be a sinless person. And there was only one who could claim that. The light of the world, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, came and lived a sinless life and paid the debt of sin, so that anyone who believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And at the moment of salvation, moment we turn from our sin and say, I need a resurrection day. I need a new start. I gotta stop living like I'm a nobody and claim I'm a somebody in Jesus. Because when I do that, I'm reminded of a moment at salvation where a transaction occurred in my heart and I was brought back to life, and I'll live forever with him. Scripture's so clear. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus not only died but that he rose again, you will be saved. Saved from a life of trying to find your worth in anything else than the one who loves you so, but saved from the penalty of separation from God, of an eternity in hell. Maybe today is the day where Jesus is saying, hey, you need a resurrection day, and I'm the only one who can fill in the gap between your feelings and the truth. And so when the devil comes along and says you're guilty, you go point to that cross. And when the devil comes along and says you're worthless, you go over and you point to that grave. Because you're a child of God at the moment of salvation. And you're a somebody. And depending on your feelings is a meaningless cause. Because I can feel like a millionaire, but you can check my wallet, I'm not. Feelings don't determine truth. Jesus does. And he was no nobody. And because he was a somebody, that grave was empty and nobody was in it. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, the night you died, the darkness, the cry of it is finished, the space in between, the gap for your disciples and for all the world was laying in the balance. The enemy had felt he won, but Sunday was coming. And darkness, your hour is over. And I pray for anyone in this room that is living in the defeat of feelings, that they too could say, darkness, your hour is over. I'm a child of God. I'm born again.